You know, we try, and from the time we start ministering, one of the things, the comments we got was, you and Lisa are so real. Well, we're all real, but sometimes we put a lot of mask on, and we cover up who we really are. And it's one of the most difficult things, the most prosperous thing you can do is be yourself, be who God made you. That's righteousness, just being the way you should be and being happy about that. You know, and so a lot of times you'll see me, if I'm down, you'll know it. You'll know I'm not perking on all eight cylinders. You know, I don't try to highlight it, but I don't try to hide it. But I also, right now, I'm pumped on all eight cylinders. My dual quads are kicked in. The high power cam is running. I'm on high octane today. Hallelujah. So I kind of got to put a suppressor on it so it can communicate, but man, I'm pumped. I really am. And about so many things, but mostly just walking with him. I've had enough things hit my body that I've just been speaking nonstop, and it's amazing how. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that today, and we'll get right into it. I want to talk to you about the word. It's really kind of fun. When you start ministering to people, you never know I don't just try to get them saved. I try to get them to slowly start seeking the kingdom of God and let that salvation come when they're ready for it. It's really awesome to me. May I say that I think Billy Graham did an injustice to the body of Christ. You may not like this, but when he said, if you don't make your, remember I invite people and say, if you don't make it public, if you won't confess me before man, I won't confess you before God type thing, and everybody that Jesus called, he called publicly. That was his big theme at the end all the time. You got to come forward, and I'm telling you, that is so not right. The kingdom of God is with an individual relationship with Jesus. It is not a showboat thing for anybody. And you don't have to you don't have to be in public when you make your commitment to Jesus. In fact, I think it's just way better when you're home alone sometimes or on the road and you get born again, because you just finally say, I believe in you, Jesus. I've been listening. I believe. I think that's the most powerful. You'll have plenty of time to confess Jesus publicly, amen, the rest of your life. So that's one reason I don't do as many altar calls and all everything anymore, because it's just so much solider when you come to Jesus yourself in a personal relationship and you're not just joining a group thing or whatever else, so be it. But I know in working with people, when they start communicating back to me, as years go by, they go, I've been in the Word. There's something about when they start talking about the Word that you know they're getting revelation. At the same time, what does that mean? Boy, a lot of people get real, you got to get in the Word. You got to confess the Word. Yeah, okay, what does Word mean? Well, the word, there's two words in the Greek, logos and rhema. And I'm going to just deal with the logos now. Let me read to you a little bit of the definition out of a Bible dictionary. It says, in John, logos denotes an essential word of God, Jesus Christ, the personal wisdom and power in union with God, his minister in creation and government of the universe, the cause of all the world's life, both physical and ethical, which for the procurement of man's salvation put on human nature in the person of Jesus, the Messiah, the second person of the Godhead, and shown forth conspicuously from his words and deeds. And boy, if that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you, I would agree. But there's what I believe it's trying to say is, it's really difficult, I think, to define this. What is the Word? What is the Word? And I hope that today that you might just kind of try to discard everything you've learned up to this point and just open up and act like you had never seen it before and maybe see it differently than you ever seen it before. Because most people say, well, it's the Bible. No, it's not about the Bible. It's the Word. The word logos, think about this. Every word that you and I use, somebody had to create it or come up with it so we could communicate. And then there's different languages. So sometimes I think it's a humorous thing in the world to be on a plane with a bunch of Chinese or Japanese or whatever. You hear more on planes because when I travel. But, man, so often I'd hear these business people talking when I'm flying overseas. and they're in their language, and all of a sudden they say, computer, hard drive. Because there's no words for that in their language. And so the word logos was first used by a Greek philosopher around 600 BC to designate the divine reason and plan which coordinates a changing universe. The point is, somebody had to come up with a word so you and I could communicate what Rudy was talking about. And sometimes it's one of the greatest battles we have is to communicate and communicate clearly. And I don't know about you, but Elise and I have been married almost 48 years. And we miscommunicate more now than ever. It's just weird sometimes how she'll say a word and I'm over here and she's over there. And it takes me a while to figure out, oh, I'm in the wrong, I got the wrong Jody, I got the wrong Deb, I got, whatever. And I'm not saying that we're not getting along. I'm just saying it's a real chore to communicate honestly. And then you get into the different languages and all that. So again, we're going to look at this word, logos. And it says in John 1:1-4, it says, in the beginning was the word, logos, and the logos was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Nothing came into existence except through the logos. And the logos was there in the beginning, and the logos was with God, and the logos was God. And now we call him Jesus. So you were created by the word. I read an article, I got it out in the back there, but Hagin was talking about this. You were created by the word of God. By the way, you can get recreated by the word of God. So anything in your body that's not the way you want it to be, you can recreate it with the word of God. Because you're created by the word of God. And everything comes into existence through the word of God. The logos. First Peter 1 says this. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. I'll just say this a couple times here. Watch how many times the things that we're reading here talk about the love of the brethren. Sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God, logos. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of the grass, and the grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of God endures or abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. The logos that you and I got born again with, got born into the Spirit with, it was there in the beginning, and everything came into the world through it, and it is a living word. This is where you start seeing a real difference between a religious person and a spiritual person. A religious person will talk about the word of God just like a spiritual one will, but in all reality, their viewpoint is like it's that Bible, it's that verse, it's that particular, quote, it's whatever. But it's almost a dead word written down for us to remember something. But a spiritual person sees it not as something on a page. It sees it as a living thing. A living, and the word living there means breathing. The logos breathes. Well, it makes sense, it breathes, because the word for breath is spirit. And so God's a holy, God is spirit, he is He's one. And so we're talking about logos, but, you know, sometimes we separate. Here's God the Father with a gray beard, and here's the Jesus beside him, and then the Spirit of God's kind of spooky out there. We don't know what he looks like. But they're one, and it's all together, and it's we're just, with our little brains, we have a really hard time seeing spiritual things because it's not like natural things always. It's not always that defined. It's and so it's a living word, and it's abiding word, and it, but and so I just today just let your imagination flow and just see logos as alive. It's alive. 1 Peter 2 says this, therefore, putting aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. Again, there's some real counsel here, by the way. You want to have a great life? Knock it off. Stop complaining. Stop moaning and groaning. Stop all the hating. And yeah, there's plenty of things to hate. And we do hate evil, but man, put away that stuff. And then verse 12, or 2, like newborn babies. We got a lot of newborn babies, man. They're cool. Thank God they go home with their parents. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that you may grow in respect to salvation. If you've tasted of the kindness of the Lord and coming to him as a living stone, which was rejected by men, but is the choice, is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house. God is in the house. What house? This house. This is the house. This is the house, you and me. We're living stones. Jesus is a living stone. Doesn't really kind of fit our natural thinking. You got to let yourself go into the seeing the spiritual realm. That's more real than the natural. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. And he who believes, this is the key, isn't it? Whoever, what? Believes. You want in the inner circle? Believe. You want to experience life? Believe. You want to be powerful? Believe. And he who believes in him will not be disappointed or put to shame. Or Isaiah says, I won't just mention this because I'll be preaching on this sometime this year. You won't be in a hurry. When you believe in him, you won't be in a hurry. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. Since desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, I find it fascinating that they tell us now that when a baby is nursing on its mama's breast, number one, the milk for a boy will be different than the milk for a girl. That mama, that body knows that that girl needs different hormones and different things than the boy does. I won't go there, but he knows what he's doing and what he created. But this is fascinating to me. As the baby nurses off its mother's breast, the saliva from the baby slips back into the mother and communicates to the mother what the baby's needing so the mother can produce the antibodies or the vitamins or whatever the baby needs. Isn't that amazing? The communication between mother and child. I won't spend time there, but what is the evil Antichrist trying to do? Remove mother's breast and all the communication. Why are we sick? Why are we having so much problems? Well, we're doing some things that aren't helping us, because the way he created us was beautiful and awesome. Now, spiritually, a young person coming to the Lord needs to desire that milk. And when you're drinking that milk of the truth, of the gospel, you're hearing it from somebody. Somebody's talking to you about it. You're reading it in the Bible. You're meditating on it or whatever else. And as you do that, part of you is going back into the living word. It's alive. It's not dead. It's breathing. And as you're meditating on the word and speaking that word and listening to it, your needs are being communicated back to a living thing that says, oh, this is what you need. And that's why as you start desiring these things, all of a sudden you're needing something, and somebody says, by the way, have you ever heard this? Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever read this? Hey, you want to take a look at this? Have you seen this scripture and whatever? And all of a sudden you go, whoa, wait a minute. I was just thinking about it. It's a living, live, I'm going to say organism, but I don't think that's it. But it's not a dead, written down, cold-hearted, something to be argued about, debated about, intellectually sought after. It's alive. Logos is a living word. And as you are a living stone, there begins this communication between the two of you so that you can what? Grow in salvation, your salvation. Salvation includes your healing, your prosperity, your joy, your peace, your freedom. Now bear with me, but if you're just reading the Bible out of academics, you're reading it out of your denominational line and your catechism and your, this is what the pastor says and not even with, you know, or this is what the theologians say, and it's like, well, wait a minute, whoa. This thing's alive for you, specifically for you. And as you dwell in it, it brings what it needs for you. And you know what else? It also goes back to the living word, because he's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And you're giving blessings to the Lord when you're dwelling and abiding in the truth of the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the Word of God is living. See, I'm not making this up. I'm just in the Word. The Word of God is living and active. Again, visualize this thing as breathing, alive, communicating, seeking, drawing out of you, putting into you, fellowshipping together, working as one, becoming tighter and tighter, more and more clear, more and more precise. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as the division, as far as the division between soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. I know you know this. Man, the intentions is way more powerful than the actual verbiage. You've heard a good complimentary word, haven't you? And you knew all the words pointed as a compliment to you, but in your heart you knew it was criticism. The intent. Somebody could take the words that were given to you from somebody and analyze them, break them down, or look at the Bible, look at the definition, look at the dictionary, and say, oh, that was really good. Yeah, but the intent was sarcasm, and it was to put me down. The intent of your heart. That's why, man, if you're reading, if you're If you're reading the Bible and doing all that out of dutyism and out of obligation and out of some sort of manipulation that somebody told you to, that intent makes a difference. But if you're looking at it as, man, this is something that's alive that I want, that I want to draw near, I want to draw the life out of this. I want it to help me, build me up, and show me who I am, and reveal to me all the good things that is meant for me. That intent makes all the difference in the world on how fast you're going to grow. There are people who read their Bible every day, take devotions every morning, to do prayer every night, and there's very little growth in their life. And there's others who just take one thing and think about it, and their growth is, because the intent of their heart is they look at the Logos as a living thing that is for them. And if God did not withhold Jesus, he won't withhold one. If he didn't withhold his Logos, he won't withhold one good thing to you. And these good things come into your life and manifest when you acknowledge them or become into the knowledge of them, heart-wise. You know, that's why a lot of people aren't into the Word. They see it as dead. They don't want to leave it too far. They want to go. They want to make it to heaven. But they don't see it as a life-giving force that can radically change their life and make it better. And so they're not hungry for it. They're not hungry for fellowship. They got enough. They feel secure. That's not us. Hebrews 5 says this, concerning him, Jesus, Logos, we have much to say. And it is hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have a need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles or word of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Isn't this interesting? How many babies have gotten to the point where they should be eating solid food, but they have to go back to milk because they're not developing? I'm going to throw this in. But one of the richest men in the world 50 years ago couldn't spend all his money if he had to. Was so nervous about losing his money, the only thing he could eat was breast milk. Everything else upsetting. That's not right. We shouldn't have to go back to milk. But there's believers that are having to go back to milk because they got dull of hearing. They got busy in the world. They got too concerned with what their temporal life. They got all about themselves and start dying spiritually in relationship to the living Word. And now they can't handle the meat anymore. They have to go back to simple things. And by the way, let's go. For everyone who partakes only of the milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. You know what that means? It means they don't understand that righteousness was given to us freely by Jesus Christ. They go back to righteousness is earned by doing the right things. That's how somebody who's could be eating solid milk is going back to the simple milk of the Word because they got caught up in, you better do the right thing or you're not righteous. No, I was given righteousness, free gift. You can't take it away from me. You can't accuse me of not being righteous. Because you had nothing to do with it, and neither did I. It was a free gift from him. That's the milk of the Word of God going into solid food. When you realize, and now it's not just a head thing, but now you know beyond a shadow of doubt, you are the way you should be because he has made you that way. Now you're in the meat. Let's go on. Where was I? For everyone who partakes only of the milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil, mature, grow up, get beefy, all right, eat meat. And I was thinking about this. Well, what's the difference between milk and meat? I mean, how do we know what's, you know, I'll say this. Milk is for a baby who's sitting there doing nothing but being itself and growing, but everybody else is taking care of it. Meat is when you start taking care of other people. When you get in the meat, you're mature. Now you're not just working out your own salvation. Now you are a life-giving force on the earth. Isn't that good? Now you are taking care of people. Joshua 1:6 says, be strong, be courageous, and give to the people what I promised them. That was a verse that came into my heart as a young person, and God said, I want you to grow up, I want you to mature, I want you to get powerful, and I want you to help give to the people what I promised them. That's what I've been doing the rest of my life. But I don't want to grow up. I just want to be Peter Pan. I understand that. But I'm telling you, when you see it, when you feel it, when that living word becomes alive in you, your desire is to give, your desire is to build, your desire is to set people free, your desire is to conquer, your desire is to win, and you become like a roaring lion seeking whom you may devour for the kingdom of God. You're on the hunt to set people free. What do the babies do? They cry, they moan, slight stomach ache. They got no way to communicate except to cry. Feed me, take care of me. Oh, and there's people 50 years old still sitting in pews. Somebody care about me. I'm all alone. Nobody talks. Nobody loves me. Nobody hugs me. Nobody ignores me. Grow up. It's more fun. You know, boy, I'm messing with so many things today. There are some people that will never be healed because the intent of their heart is they don't want to give up that which keeps people's attention on them. They'll say the right words, pray for me, I want to get healed, but the intent of their heart is, I kind of like this because it identifies me and it keeps me in this place of safety and I don't have to grow up. Because if I grow up and start eating the meat and I got my salvation from drinking the milk of the word and I know who I am and I know that I'm set free and I don't have PTSD anymore because I got rid of it and I don't have all these heart issues because I got them fixed, then I'd have to be a person that actually goes out there and helps deliver others. And I'm telling you, you know it. There's people say the right words, but the intent of their heart is, I don't want to be strong. I don't want to be responsible. I don't want to be the adult. I'm saying all that to somebody listening. You guys are already there. 1 Corinthians 2. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us. Say no. We need to know the things freely given to us. That's when we get in the meat of the word, we know. That's okay, they're just building a house downstairs. I guess that's my sign, I'm done. Which things we also speak. When that living word's inside you, that logos, that's Jesus. He's alive. He's well. Has all his truth, all his power, all his understanding, all the revelation of how the universe works and all that. When that's abiding in you and you're abiding in it, then when you speak life. You're speaking rivers of living water that move mountains and change and cut and decide and divide and then sets people free. You're literally changing the universe because you're... The word is you, and it's living, and it's powerful. So we speak not in words taught by human wisdom, in universities and seminaries and Sunday school lessons. But in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words, but the natural man doesn't accept these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who spiritually appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. That's saying again, you know that you're righteous because of him, so you don't let somebody else judge you. You don't let somebody put you in a cage. You don't let somebody... Again, I'm going to go back to Brody. I bet Brody doesn't remember this. We're over in Spearfish Park. We're playing. I'm sure it was Brody. And I'm actually reading my Bible, my phone, whatever. And Brody, he's down there. And he comes running up to me crying. I said, Brody, what's wrong? You get hurt? No. No. What's wrong? I'm sorry, Brody, but you were a kid. We all did it. I was the biggest crybaby I've ever met. So, and you were little. I said, what's wrong, Brody? And I'm looking to see if he's bleeding or no. He goes, he said, I can't be Batman. And he met this kid, and they were playing and using their imaginations, and Brody wanted to be Batman at that time. And the kid says, no, I'm Batman. You can't be Batman. He came to me crying. Do you realize any time somebody says something to you and it hurts your feelings? That's what you're doing. He said, I can't be Batman. I told you I was sassy. I told you I was full of it. You know how you know when you're... He said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know how one of the signs is? You really don't give a rip what people think of you. And I'm feeling that today, hallelujah. But man, they got all these names now, you know. I had a bad experience. I got this, I got that. Man, hey, Brody grew up. He does. If somebody tells him he can't be Batman, he's not going to come crying to Papa no more. Right? Right? Try. Right? But the natural man doesn't understand these things. They're spiritually appraised. But he who spiritually appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Why? Because the Logos is now alive in us. And we're alive in it. And this constant communication of what I need is coming from the Word. What I get to give back is worship and praise and obedience. Makes him happy. And now when you speak, see, listen, you can quote the scriptures all day long and have nothing change. And people are going to experience that in religion all their life and get disappointed. But when it's alive in you, you speak, the mountains move. And if they don't move, you keep speaking until they do move. Because you're still growing in the knowledge of God. Father, I thank you for the Logos, for the living Word. Jesus, you were the Logos in the beginning, and you, 2,000 years ago, put on a flesh suit so that you could come down and explain to us God. You put it on for us so that we wouldn't have to be wandering in natural thinking, bumping into things and not knowing what's going on. And then you died, and then you were begotten on that day that you rose from the dead as the firstborn of many. And now all the rest of us are being born into that same species. And we're alive forevermore. Perfect blameless, powerful, children of God. Thank you. We worship you. Amen.